Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Julie Douglas.
And this is part two of our SETI episode, The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. This is part two. I highly recommend you listen to part one first. Sometimes when we do a part one and a part two, you can kind of take them in any order you want, but this is not the case here. There's a definite narrative structure in place, and it just won't make sense if you don't listen to part one first.
That's right. We created the setup so that when we get to this part, that you guys will have a little bit more of an understanding of the context of exoplanets and aliens. So I hope you guys enjoy part two.
Yeah, we're talking about SETI. We're talking about the possibility of intelligent alien life elsewhere in the cosmos, and we're talking about radio waves. I thought it's important to point out that there's a reason why radio waves are so important in all of this. In Neil deGrasse Tyson's book, Space Chronicles, he points out that radio waves are a communication band of choice for potential alien civilizations due to the radio waves' ability to traverse the galaxy unimpeded by interstellar gas and dust clouds.
So that's right. They travel really well.
So it's something we can look for that we know travels vast distances. And again, and that's one of the things that we mentioned when we're talking about Fermi paradox and the Drake equation, is that when we're talking about finding life elsewhere in the universe, we're talking vast stretches of time and space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to the level that it's really difficult for us to think about it. You know, like it's like thinking about it in terms of like finding your soulmate. It's like that person is out there in the world. And they're alive, and they didn't exist, 5,000 years ago, and it's not a situation where they won't exist for another five.
But imagine that you're super picky, and so you kind of have to apply that Drake equation to your soulmate,
yeah.
Right? So, like, they have to be, like, exactly, like, 5'10 and 3¼ inches, and
yeah.
They have to be, I don't know, how many more, like, constraints can you put on that, right?
Yeah.
You could put, like, 100 million constraints on it, and that is what it's like, searching for that signal. So SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, there's the SETI agency, and this was set up in the 60s in earnest mm-hmm. by dedicated astronomers who were trying to figure this out. Could they really pick up a signal? Now, the search uses large radio telescopes, and with these telescopes, scientists involved in SETI hope to detect radio signals that are leaking. This is what we're thinking, leaking from other intelligent civilizations, or that other civilizations have specifically aimed that signal at us.
Yeah, so either we'll listen in on an alien phone call, essentially, mm-hmm. or we will receive that alien phone call that we both hope and dread for.
Now, according to Marshall Brain, he is the founder of How Stuff Works. He's got a nice blog post on this. He says, the problem with SETI is that it requires massive computational resources. Mm-hmm. Just think of all that data that you have to comb through. SETI is listening to a huge number of frequencies. Then the computer has to look at each frequency separately and try to decide if it's carrying an intelligent signal as opposed to noise. To give you an idea of the scope of the problem, the antenna used by SETI at home records 35 gigabytes of data every day. It takes millions of hours of computation time just to process one day's worth of data. Now, he's talking about a program that's called SETI at Home that sort of runs the data for you in the background.
Yeah, this is the distributed computing program where you would install this on your home computer.
Mm-hmm.
You get up to go use the restroom or go to have lunch or whatever. Screensaver kicks in and your computer, instead of working on your own efforts in your word processing or what have you, it then contributes that computing power to SETI's problem of analyzing all of this data.
That's right. It grinds away on that data, which is really cool. So the other problem, I guess you could say the problem of having so much data is, trying to tune into the most probable frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So one way to go about this is to determine the best range. And the 1 to 10 gigahertz range is the best range to listen, and it's the quietest. SETI also uses large multi-channel bandwidth signal processors that can scan millions or billions of frequencies simultaneously. And that's really what they're more leaning toward these days.
Yeah, and then there are so many factors you have to take into account too. You have to worry about waves that are actually emitted by us that are just bouncing back
mm-hmm.
from something else, say a piece of space garbage even.
Pulsars too.
Pulsars, because that was
signals.
A big one. Yeah, the pulsars are sending out this signal, this pulse.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first discovered them, we didn't know what they were. They're like, oh my goodness, this is it. This
mm-hmm.
this could be it. And then we looked a little deeper when we've realized, oh, well, actually, there are these things, and we'll call them pulsars because they're pulsing stars.
Stars emitting a pulse. And I also wanted to mention, too, that most of SETI research has been done by renting time on existing radio telescopes. So it's mm-hmm. not even something that's an endeavor that we can do constantly, right? You have to rent the time
mm-hmm.
because it's super expensive to even get this sort of technology for your own devices, right?
Yeah, and it's a nonprofit, and they depend on the funding from a variety of different sources. NASA kicks in, and as well as individuals and various groups out there contribute to the SETI effort, because it's something that's a lot of people believe in it, and for good reason, because it is if you consider even the possibility that there's life out there in the universe, then it's essential that we find out what it is and what it might consist of.
Yep, and the three main radio telescopes are the Parkes Radio Telescope in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
There's the telescope in Green Bank, West Virginia, and the Arecibo Radio Telescope in Puerto Rico. And I believe that's the one that was in the movie Contact.
Yes, at least in the intro stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, SETI continues to evolve with the times. Laser technology has made it possible to search the optical portion of the electromagnetic spectrum for pulses of laser light that are just a few nanoseconds long in duration. So short, you have to really fine-tune it to actually record them and analyze them. But during that nanosecond, they can actually briefly shine brighter than the light of nearby stars. So this is just another area SETI's looking for the possible clues and trying to intercept that phone call.
Yeah, and just to give everybody an idea of really how huge this is, this idea of trying to pick up this particular signal, there are a couple of different ways to go about it. One is called the wide field search. So you have this expansive sky beyond, right? What
mm-hmm.
do you do? I mean, that's a ton of data that's coming at you at any little point that you decide to concentrate on. So with the wide field search in this method, you survey large chunks of the sky for, one at a time for signals. And it allows the entire sky to be searched at a low resolution for a short period of time. The problem is the low resolution, right?
Right.
But if you get some data back that says, hey, this seems kind of like a hot area, then you can go back later with high resolution. That's the idea, at least. And then you have targeted searches. In this method, you make intensive investigations of a limited number of sun-like stars. So again, that's that sort of Goldilocks area that you would be looking for. And the targeted search allows for more detailed investigations of small areas that we think might be probable locations of ET. Now, what happens if you think you've heard a signal?
Well, then you have to analyze that signal. You don't just run to the press and say, we got it.
We got it.
Aliens
They're
are
here.
Coming. Yeah.
That we just, they said they just totally Morse coded us. From the article, How SETI Works on HowStuffWorks.com, if a signal detected, there are a series of steps that follow to confirm that signal is extraterrestrial. First, the radio telescope is moved off the target. The signal should go away, right? And then it should return when the telescope is pointed back. So they kind of say, let's just make sure that this is the real deal.
Right.
Move this off axis and then take it back. Known Earth or near-Earth sources such as satellites must be ruled out as
originators.
Yeah,
because you don't want stuff that's originating from that object or bouncing back. From, you know, Earth signal bouncing back off that object.
Similarly, quasars, pulsars have to be ruled out as well. And then the signal has to be confirmed by another radio telescope, preferably one on a different continent, to say, are you guys hearing the same thing that we are hearing?
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right. So far, we haven't really had that contact. But in 1977, there's something called the WOW signal that was detected. And this got people really excited because it is still an anomaly. It's certainly the 72-second signal is something that seems to be something that was picked up by the Big Ear radio telescope in Ohio.
Yep, just outside of Delaware. The main astronomer in all of this, American astronomer, Jerry R. Eamon, PhD. And he's even kind of gone back and forth on it. I was reading some of his writings about it. And like for a while, he was of the mindset, no, there's got to be a terrestrial explanation for this and what have you. But on the 30th anniversary of the WOW signal, he had this really cool bit to say. I'm just going to read the quote here. He says, "Thus, since all of the possibilities of a terrestrial origin have been either ruled out or seem improbable, and since the possibility of an extraterrestrial origin has not been able to be ruled out, I must conclude that an ETI, extraterrestrial intelligence, might is bolded and italicized, might have sent the signal that we received as the WOW source. The fact that we saw the signal in only one beam could be due to an ETI sending a beacon signal in our direction and then sending it in another direction that we couldn't detect. Of course, being a scientist, I await the reception of additional signals like the WOW source that are able to be received and analyzed by many observatories. Thus, I must state that the origin of the WOW signal is still an open question for me. There is simply too little data to draw many conclusions. In other words, as I stated above, I choose not to, quote, draw vast conclusions from the half-vast data, unquote.
Yeah, there's this great quote, too, that he says it was sort of like a tug on the cosmic fishing line.
Yeah.
So it doesn't prove that you have a fish on the line, but it does say that you should keep your line in the water because there might be something there. And what is so mysterious about the signal is that it was being emitted from an area that was not a Goldilocks zone. It was sort of the void. It was sort of like there's nothing there. So they couldn't figure out, like, what was originating, what was making that. And a couple of really interesting theories came out of that, which I think helped to sort of color our ideas of why we haven't picked up a significant signal since. Mm-hmm. And that's this idea that that it was a lighthouse signal. So rather than it just being like, hey, we're just going to send this universe, the signal out into the universe constantly, it was sort of like we have limited energy and resources and maybe even technology, and it's going to be more of a lighthouse signal that just kind of goes around and we'll see if we pick anything up.
And that
up.
Was one of the ideas that Eamon mentioned, the idea that it's blasted the signal at Earth and then it turned, blasted in another direction. So we didn't get a repeat signal because it's going in a circle or what have you. It's trying to send out the signal to anybody who might be out there and letting them know, hey, what's up? Or if it is indeed in keeping with a true lighthouse saying, stay away because we have rocks or hideous monster gods here, and you shouldn't come anywhere near us.
Well, there is that zoo theory, right? That we have been picked up on, and there's an intelligent extraterrestrials out there. They're saying, "Hey, just let them do their thing
evolve.
We'll just watch them from a distance, like a colony of ants, and see what they're up to." And then there's also the idea that maybe that technology died, or the technology from that society died out. Or maybe it's just that we didn't overlap. So in other words, by the time that we started listening, we missed any sort of signals that might have been sent out.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, that possibility as well as just the lighthouse possibility, it reminds me of any of these movies where someone is stranded on a desert isle and that plane flies over. Mm-hmm. And generally they're like asleep or doing something else or talking to a volleyball when it happens. Plane's flying over, and so they frantically try and get that plane's attention, but it's too late. It's already passed over, and maybe there just wasn't a very good way to get its attention to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this kind of like haunting feeling. What if they did? What if that was an attempt at communication from a distant civilization? And in one way or another, we were too late. We were just we didn't have the technology to respond, or our time, the time line, or the life cycle of our civilizations didn't overlap, or didn't mm-hmm. overlap enough for that to be possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's like star-torn lovers out there in the cosmos.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
But okay, that's what makes people so obsessive about it, because they say, again, we've got the ingredients for this primordial soup. There's got to be a possibility here. Let's just keep listening. And that is what SETI is trying to do. And SETI is not just listening, they're preparing to. And we had mentioned this in a previous podcast, I guess about a couple of years ago, I think it was called Alien Etiquette 101.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was one of the early ones that we did together.
The SETI Institute had a workshop in Paris in 2002 inviting people from all different disciplines to discuss the ways in which we might communicate with aliens and the best modes to do it. And then, I really love this one, 2008 NASA sponsored a course at the University of Wyoming called Interstellar Message Composition. And students were asked to ponder how aliens might communicate and how you would translate between languages and so on and so forth. One of the students wrote a poem about menstruation with syllables arranged in the Fibonacci sequence in her quest, I think, to try to let extraterrestrials know about some of the human biology.
Yeah, I mean, because you never know what the talking points are going to be. You want to be like, hey, do you guys have menstruation? And they're like, yeah, we do, actually. And then you have something to talk about.
And they go, oh, how quaint.
Yeah. It's like a first date between species, civilizations. I mean, you could make the argument that you need to appoint somebody. Like, what if Dennis Rodman was the go-to man? You know, he's doing so well.
Dennis Rodman?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's been doing so well in terms of just being an international emissary, you know, going out to North Korea on unofficial behalf of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we send him to other worlds to talk to the hideous monster gods. I don't know. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more SETI.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Well, a lot of this has been us looking out at the cosmos, but what about trying to take the perspective of an extraterrestrial life form looking at us? What would Earth, the exoplanet, look like?
Yeah, because we're talking about, okay, other signals that we receive that we may either be listening in or being told directly. So it's kind of like, in this situation, it makes me think of when you're at a restaurant or something or any public place and you're having a conversation with somebody, mm-hmm. or maybe you're on the phone, and then you realize too late that you're in earshot of someone else, and you're like, oh my goodness, did they listen to that whole conversation up mm-hmm. until this point? And then only then can you maybe have a directed comment to them and greet them or whatever. So the idea here is that long before we even thought about sending a radio signal out into the great black beyond, we were inadvertently leaking mm-hmm. all these radio signals. And, it wasn't the worst stuff that we've contributed, but not all of it is exactly something that we would put on the galactic resume otherwise.
You're right. It's sort of like cleaning up our Facebook page if we could, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness.
As an 18-year-old, and then you see yourself as a 30-year-old.
Exactly.
So, yeah, like you said, we've been kind of leaking out this detritus of humanity since the 1930s in the form of AM and FM radio broadcasts, TV broadcasts, and then satellite and radar broadcasts. And then there's also just the other sort of ambient noise, like every time you open your garage door.
Yeah.
These are all signals that are being sent out there.
So we have lots of groaning noises. We have lots of, ultimately a lot of footage of us as a biological specimen that I think is going to be good regardless. But then you have us dressed up in monster costumes. You have various levels of fiction and fantasy. You have actual depictions of humanity at its worst, of us waging war on each other, waging genocide.
Right.
I mean, just some really horrible images for another culture to look at and go, oh, I don't know if we need these guys in our friend group.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is, say that you pick up on our frequency, and then it's sort of like this ocean of sound coming at us, and the first thing that you hear is from the 1930s, and then you move on to the 1950s, and it's like bits and pieces from The Honeymooners. That's the name of the show, right?
Yeah, The Honeymooners.
I Love Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I'm trying to make sense of all this.
Yeah, I found that really interesting, that the edge of this radio bubble that is emitted by our planet and by our culture is about 70 light years away. You know, just spreading out like ripples
right.
in a pond. And near that edge, that's where you find stuff like I Love Lucy and The Honeymooners. And I looked it up. I was like, oh, I wonder if – I never really watched those shows. I wonder if interplanetary relations were ever covered. And of course, they were to a certain extent. There is an episode of The Honeymooners called The Man from Space in which Jackie Gleason dressed up in a really bad like robot alien costume.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ralph comes into the door and is scared, like he's terrified. He's like, ah, and then he voices some concern over the possibility of alien invasion. So even right there in The Honeymooners, they might click off and say, whoa, there's some sort of, underlying fear that we might invade them. Maybe we should lay low. And then there is an I Love Lucy episode called Lucy is Envious that features two different sets of bad Martian costumes, like Lucy and her friend are on the roof wearing Martian costumes, trying to scare people off the roof for some reason. And then I think
someone's paying them to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then their, I think their husbands come in and scare them wearing the Martian costumes.
And so this is the thing that's out there on that bubble, right?
Yeah.
And it's concerning what we think is intelligent extraterrestrial life, which is very interesting.
I did find it really fascinating that Jackie Gleason was apparently a big UFO enthusiast. So I wonder what he would make of that, to know that as into the idea of extraterrestrial life as he was, that he's kind of an emissary of it.
It's hard to say, right? Because then there's the whole thing about how we project all sorts of things onto other beings, and we have these expectations, and really we don't even really know what we're dealing with. Because as we had pointed out in one of the slime episodes, intelligence can be many different things in many different forms, mm-hmm. So it may not be what we expect. I wanted to point out, too, that if some sort of extraterrestrial life were looking at us, they might pick up that we are just chemically all over the place. Mm-hmm. So they might look at Earth, and they might look at the biomarkers that indicate our planet is rife with flora and fauna. And they would do this through spectroscopy, the analysis of light through a spectrometer, which allows us to look at the chemical fingerprint of every element and chemical and see how much of it is absorbed, emitted, and scattered throughout a particular atmosphere. So if intelligent aliens were to set their spectrometer sights on us, what would they see? They'd see an unusual amount of methane, as we noted,
right?
Thanks in part to the belching cows and such. They would see sodium from sodium vapor streetlights switching on. They would just see all sorts of things that they wouldn't necessarily expect.
Yeah, you see smog and all sorts of industrial pollution as well.
Right. Yeah, they would see They would see some of the what we call the Anthropocene era markers. That's man-made chemicals, and they would know automatically. Like, there's this. This is a very loud planet with a lot of different things going on, and it would be pretty obvious that something was afoot.
Yeah, in his book, Neil deGrasse Tyson also mentioned some of the, you know, the possible reasons that we haven't been discovered. Like, the idea that we're not necessarily, it's easy to get into your mind the idea of like a super intelligent species mm-hmm. out there, and they're just all knowing, and they just, either they, you know, they found us and they just don't want to do anything about it, or they're
Or you assume that they know what we know.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but it's a big universe. It is a big universe. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of time and a lot of distance involved here, and it's easy it's like finding a needle in a haystack.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are possibilities that the Earth is a little closer to the sun, that even if they were receiving this data, it would be confusing, and they mm-hmm. wouldn't really know exactly what they were looking at. And, you know, you have the wrong extraterrestrial analyzing the data that day, that maybe he wants to get home to his wife. So, it doesn't give the due diligence that is required.
Does this point to the limits of knowledge, too? Because, as had noted, that intelligence and intelligent life can be something beyond what we know or we define as intelligent life.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is an extraterrestrial civilization out there that is intelligent, I'm putting that in air quotes, maybe they're a completely different form that's different from ours, that they wouldn't be able to recognize the markers of what our intelligent civilization is.
Yeah. A lot of our fears of alien invasion and all of this, a lot of that is because we're reflecting our understanding of ourself out there into the void. Like I was saying earlier, a lot of it comes down to there's sort of a self-centeredness even in our attempt to understand what's going on beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know how we fit in, how we relate, how we stack up. And so as we imagine a being, we imagine a civilization out there that would take at least some of the same interests that we have. So you look at humans, and what have we done? We want to plant our flag on things. We want to put our name on things. We want to colonize other worlds in the long term, because that is what would allow the long-term survival of the species itself. We want to keep what we are, and we ultimately were terrified of change. We want to ravage other places for their resources. We want to continue to grow and to fuel ourselves. So we look to the possibility of other civilizations, and we kind of expect shades of this as well. But what if the extraterrestrial life is more of a passive species, a more passive culture? What if they aren't interested in interfering or reaching out to us? What if they just want to check us off on the list? Like, oh, there's life here. Well, let's just write it down, tell us what it is, and we'll just put it to the books. Maybe that's all they want.
Indeed. Maybe it is. And, you know, in the meantime, we'll continue to be listening, right?
Yeah.
Or rather, SETI will. And there's not a huge future right now for SETI. There was a dedicated telescope array that was planned called the Allen Telescope Array, but mm-hmm. budget cuts have sort of put that into hibernation. But in the meantime, SETI continues to eavesdrop on the universe through rented radio telescopes.
As of now, they still have an artist in residence, Charles Lindsay, creating these cool structure, like installation pieces with a sound component and all. And it's really cool stuff. But that was like a 2011 through 2013 gig. So mm-hmm. I do not know if they're going to have a second artist in residence.
It would be awesome if they did, because the whole point of that was to try to change our perspective of what intelligent life may be, right?
Yeah.
In through different forms and shapes, and I think he captured some really interesting imagery. In fact, we'll definitely put that up on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and SETI, again, it's something that even casual observers to space exploration, you know, people with a casual interest in science fiction or what have you, it's a very relatable and noble goal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great entry point for people to learn more about science and get excited about science and space exploration.
Indeed.
All right, so there you have it. A little bit about the history of SETI, some of the big points in their history, what they're doing, and what the future may hold for them. And we could sit around and ponder and hypothesize and imagine what alien life might consist of just all day. But you have to keep that confined to certain hours of the day so you can get stuff done. So we would love to hear from you guys if you have anything to add on this. What do you think about the possibility of life elsewhere in the universe? Do you think it exists? Do you know it exists? We love those stories as well. So let us know. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter, and you can find us on Tumblr. On Facebook and Tumblr, we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind, and on Twitter, we go by the handle Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us some binary code at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.